And this evening, turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 2. It's Mark chapter 2. It's on page 1553 in your pew Bible. It's page 1553, Mark chapter 2. Last two Lord's Days, we looked at the introduction to the gospel, Mark 1. We saw in two parts that Mark is building the identity of Jesus. And he's building his identity around these truths. That Jesus comes with a life-giving spirit. And he gives that spirit to each one of us. By faith, we believe he is the Son of God. And so in our baptism and in our partaking of the Lord's Supper, we receive this spirit. And this spirit lives in us and gives us a new life. A life that makes us children of God, that makes us full of obedience and joy, so that we become a people who long to have others brought into the family. We become a people who love this family and want others to share in it. And then the second part is that this Jesus is filled with compassion and filled with power. And this compassion and power results in the healing of many. So that if we are a people who invite others into this family, if we are a people who walk in obedience as children of God, we will see His compassion and His power heal others. Now Mark takes these truths about Jesus, and tonight he brings a new nuance to them. He refocuses on this idea and presents another angle, as it were. And we begin our story in verse 1. It's Mark chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Hear now the word of the Lord. And when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered there together, so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "My son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately, Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home." And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." I can remember being a little child growing up on a dairy farm. Now, I don't know if any of you remember the old stanchion barns with the haymow up above. Well, we would go up, and when in the summer they would fill this place chock to the ceiling with hay bales, we would climb on the different levels of hay bales and spread them all around and build forts and get in all sorts of trouble for that. But the time would come in the day when Dad would come calling. It was dinner time. It was time to stop playing and do chores, something. And he'd come and he'd stand at the bottom of the chute where there was a ladder. And he'd call for us to climb down out of the hay. And there were times when he would call for us to jump. As little children, we might be afraid of the height and be nervous and not ready to climb down the ladder. So he'd simply have us jump into his arms and dive down through the chute. I was in the middle, and the bigger ones would go first. By this time, actually around this time, I was the younger one. And the fear that would take hold to stand there and look down this little chute. I got to jump down this and hope my dad catches me before the concrete floor finds me. And I did. Where does that faith come from? What confidence did I have to jump down the chute and knowing that my dad would catch me? Because I watched my two older brothers do it. And he caught them. With my own two eyes, I saw my father's ability to catch and protect. In the same way tonight, Mark tells a story and says, you know what? When you bring your friends to Jesus, He will prove to you that He has the power and compassion to heal. Just like my father proved that I could trust Him by jumping out the chute. So Jesus will prove that you can trust Him. When you bring your loved ones to Jesus, He will prove to you that He has the power and the compassion to heal. Our story begins with four men who gather their paralytic friend. And they bring him to Jesus because they love their friend. Look at verse 3 and 4. And they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. English translations let us down here. It says in the ESV, they removed the roof. The NIV, the Pew Bible, is worse. Made an opening. You know what the verb here is? Gouged. They took their bare hands and gouged a hole in the roof. I mean, this is strong language. These guys are desperate. There's this great crowd out there. They can't get to Jesus. And so what do? They climb on top of the roof and gouge a hole with their bare hands. They want to see Jesus. Why? Because they have this friend. They have a friend, a paralytic, and they love him. They want him healed. They want his body restored. They want him walking about. And so with desperation, they come. Imagine parents, when your child's sick and you phone the doctor's office and they say, "We're just swamped. We can't get him in until tomorrow." What's your reaction? "Oh, okay, I'll call you tomorrow." No. You're going to find a way. You're going to find another doctor. You're going to tell him, "Look, make an opening. My child's sick." There's this desperation, this urgency in their activity. They need to see Jesus. But why Jesus? Okay, so they have a paralytic. So they love their friend. So they want him healed. But why bring him to Jesus? Because they also believe that Jesus is the one that can heal him. Look at verse 5. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "My son, your sins are forgiven." There's no mistake in the translation this time. This is what Mark says. When Jesus saw their faith, plural, the four men, he healed the paralytic. You see, they believed that Jesus could heal. They believed that the one that they loved would be made better by Jesus. So they brought him to Jesus. It's why do you go to the doctors? It's like that. Why do you go? Why do you take your car to the auto mechanic? Because our bodies just don't get better magically. Because our cars just don't fix themselves. The law of entropy, everything gets worse. But we take them to the doctor, we take them to the mechanic because they fix things, because they repair things. There's a belief here. I think that if I go to a doctor, I'll get better. Otherwise, it's a waste of time. I think if I bring my car to an auto mechanic, he'll fix it. Otherwise, I'm wasting my time. In the same way, these men come with love of their neighbor and with belief in Jesus Christ and the power to heal. and they gouge a hole in the roof to get to him. So here's the question for us. Which one do we lack? When we are not bringing our friends to Jesus, is it because we don't love them or because we don't believe Jesus has the power? You see, these four men brought their friend to Jesus because they loved their friend, because they were desperate to reach Jesus, because Jesus had the power to heal and they believed it. Which one are we lacking? When we don't share Jesus with coworkers, when we don't bring Jesus to our neighbors and our friends, when we don't stand there and say, "My friend, I love you, let me tell you about Jesus." When our silence grips our tongues, what's the reason? Is it because we don't love them or because we don't believe Jesus has the power? It's got to be one or the other. Mark presents us with this truth. When you love someone and you know the solution to their problem, don't you tell them? Don't you tell them? Your friends, your loved ones need healing. And the healing only comes from Jesus. Do you doubt that? Or do you not love them? Beloved, I believe it's something deeper. I believe we genuinely love people. I believe that we genuinely believe that Jesus has the power. So what are we lacking? Maybe it's motivation. Maybe it's the reminder. Oh yeah, I do love them. Oh yeah, I do want to show them the power of Jesus. If that's true, consider this your reminder. Consider this your encouragement. This is your week to be confident in Christ, to share with your coworkers His power. But there's something more going on in our text. I mean, that alone makes a great sermon. Love your neighbors and show them the power of Jesus to heal. But there's something more here. There's something that makes it even richer. You see, when they bring their friends to Jesus, He doesn't just heal the paralytic. He has to deal with the scribes. And when you bring your friends to Jesus, you have to deal with the same problem. There will be doubters and there will be mockers. Look at verses 6 and 7. Now, some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" They deny that Jesus is God and are guilty of the blasphemy that they are accusing Jesus of. But you know what's really rich? Don't forget Mark chapter 1, verses 23 and 24. Mark's building a contrast in his story. Look back, Mark chapter 1, verses 23 and 24. "And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, 'What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.'" The demon knows that Jesus is God. The demon knows this. And yet the scribes go, "Only God can forgive sins. You're not God." You'll face this. You'll go out into your world. You'll talk with coworkers, with neighbors, with relatives, with family members, with the people you love. You'll share the love of Jesus and they'll go, "Jesus isn't God. He can't help me." Don't fear that opposition. Expect that opposition, but don't fear it. Don't fear it, because even the demons know He's God. I mean, this is like them coming to you and saying, "You know what? Sunlight's not that bright. What's your answer? Take a look and tell me how your eyes feel in 5 minutes." The same is true for the deity of Jesus. When you confront someone in the streets of Patterson or Center and they say to you, "Jesus isn't God. Jesus doesn't forgive sins. Jesus isn't the solution." Say, "I'll tell you what, take a Bible, read it for 5 weeks, and then tell me what you think." The truth will be so blinding to you that you'll either hate it or you'll love it. It's that obvious. Don't fear opposition. but pity them. Expect that people will respond this way, doubting and mocking the power of Jesus. But don't fear this opposition. Pity them. Have compassion on them. Because their ignorance will be shown with a full light. Because Jesus will prove that He is God. Look at verses 10 and 11. Jesus will prove He is God. But that you may know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Who is the only one that can forgive sins? God. So that you may know I can forgive sins. So that you may know that I am God. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home. He heals the man. He speaks with authority. And the man obeys. How did I know my father would catch me? I saw it. He proved it. I couldn't doubt it because I watched it with my own two eyes. Jesus says, you want to see that I'm God? Watch. And He touches and heals the paralytic. Jesus will prove that He's God. Stop doubting it. He is God. He's enthroned at the right hand of the Father. He's proved it in that day. He will prove it again. Bring your friends to Jesus because you love your friends. Bring your friends to Jesus because you believe that Jesus has the power to heal them. And when you do, you'll face opposition. But realize this opposition is acting in ignorance. And their ignorance has no hope. Because He will prove He's God. And how will He do it? This is where it gets sweet. This is where it turns from just being Jesus showing His power, His right to rule and to reign. How does He show His power? How does He exercise authority on earth? He said to the paralytic in verse 11, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home. And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all. He will heal. He will heal. When you introduce your friends and your loved ones to Jesus, He will heal them. And they will know that He is the Son of God. When you're confronted with opposition and someone says, no, Jesus isn't God. Jesus can't help me. Tell them. Trust me on this. Come with me to the Scriptures. See the testimony of the saints. The truth is here. Consider it with me. Read it with me. And you will see the power of God. He'll prove the power of God. Not merely by you reading a two-dimensional story, but by that story burning in your heart. When you bring your friends and your loved ones to the Word of God, and you ask them to week after week after week, read the Word of God. It will bore in their hearts. It will sit in their minds. And it will transform them. And in that, Jesus proves His power as God. He proves He is God. Because He heals. Because He makes well. The doctors heal the body. But Jesus heals the soul. He heals the whole man. And this is a beautiful thing. This is a sweet thing. Jesus heals. Count on it. Okay? Count on it. Act on it. Go and speak to your friends. Go and speak to your loved ones and your neighbors. And introduce them to Jesus. It's this easy. Oh, wait, not easy, simple. It's not easy, it's difficult, but it's simple. Tell them about Jesus, and He will prove His power. He will heal. And what's the response? You remember last week, if we show people the compassion and the love of Jesus, and if we show Him His power to heal, what happens? They're breaking down the doors. Because they want this love. Because they want this compassion. Because they want the power to be healed. And yet, in this one, we see something even more. Mark's building his theme. It's not just that they'll come to the church and they'll long to hear more of this love and they'll long to know more of this power. It's that they will be amazed. Look at verse 12. They were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Have you ever seen a dead man walk? Have you ever seen an alcoholic throw away the booze? Have you ever seen a sinner steeped in death, bound by sin, walk in newness of life with joy and with peace, with hope, with obedience to Jesus Christ, with love in their hearts? If not, take a look around the room. Take a look around the room. I mean that. When you stand and you talk to someone and you say to them, "Jesus has the power to heal you if you would but love Him." And they say, "Why would I believe that?" Say, "Look at me. I'm living proof that Jesus forgives sins." In verse 12, did you notice that the paralytic does something specific? Not only does he stand up, not only does he pick up his bed, he went out before them all. He walks out of the house and he passes through this great crowd. Every person that day is without excuse. They saw the power of Jesus to heal. They saw the power of Jesus to forgive sins. With their own two eyes, they saw that Jesus heals. Your friends and neighbors are in the same place. When you stand on their doorstep and say, "Believe in Jesus, in His power to heal, in His love to heal, His power to forgive sins." And they say to you, "Why? Why should I turn to Jesus? Why should I believe Jesus?" You answer, "Because I'm living proof that He forgives sins. Because I'm living proof that He changes lives." You want to see the power of Jesus? Then, my friend, come to First RP Church and see sinners transformed into saints. You want to see the power of Jesus? Then come hear the praises of His people. Isn't that what verse 12 has going on? They were all amazed and they glorified God. If we want to see the power of Jesus, then you have to do but one thing. Bring your loved ones to Jesus. Do you love your friends? Do you love your neighbors? Do you love your co-workers? And do you believe in the power of Jesus to heal? Then introduce them. Then ask them to consider His word, to consider His stories. And you will see the power of Jesus as that life is transformed. As that life is given, remember the first one? A new life. A Spirit-filled life. He didn't just bring it for you. He brought it for your loved ones. Love them. And believe in Jesus' power to heal. Bring your loved ones to Jesus and He will prove His power to heal. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, You have given us a great Jesus, filled with power and with compassion. A Jesus who brings to us a new life. Father, fill us with this Spirit and with this life, that we would be a people who love to speak about Jesus, that we would not be burdened by our guilt of silence, but that we would be a people burdened by our love of others, burdened by our belief that Jesus has the power to heal and to transform. And Father, give us courage to share with others these precious truths. Jesus does heal. Jesus does save. And we are living proof. They can see it with their own two eyes if they would but look at your word. They can see it with their own two eyes if they would but look at us. Father, we ask by your Spirit's power that you would prove to Patterson that Jesus heals. That you would prove to Center that Jesus heals. And that you would receive all the glory and all the praise, that all of Patterson and Center would go forth worshiping and glorifying you with amazement. It is in Jesus' precious and glorious name that we pray. Amen.